welcome to the Gaming Gang Gen Con 2011 Raw, sponsored by Victory Point Games, where the gameplay is the thing. First up, it's a look at North Star Games. Our Raw series features interviews recorded just hours before on the convention floor with a minimal amount of editing to provide you with the hottest and freshest coverage. I am your host, Jeff McAleer. Luke Warren from North Star Games has been kind enough to stop on over and chat with me on the opening morning of Gen Con. It's pretty crazy here so far, but how are you doing, Luke?
It is pretty crazy. Some of our booth help wasn't here yet when the hall opened, and all of a sudden I got slammed with people, and I'm like trying to run three demos and give interviews, and you know, so it's nuts, but it seems to have kind of settled down a little bit. We're looking forward to a good show.
It's a good kind of nuts, though.
Yeah, no, there seems to be a lot of excitement around our new release, Crappy Birthday. So we're hoping that interest and excitement turns into sales.
It's funny, because every time I think of the title Crappy Birthday, the one thing that pops into my head is that old kind of punk rockish song where it's Happy Birthday, Happy Birthday. I don't know why. Maybe that could be like your ad. You could do an audio ad and Crappy Birthday.
We'd have to pay royalties for that, I'm sure.
Mix it up a little bit.
Right.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Crappy Birthday?
Well, it's very simple, which is one of the benefits of the game. It's essentially a game where you try to give the worst gift. So you get a hand of cards. On those cards, there's a picture of a gift, a title, and then a little description on how that gift is to be used. When it's your turn, it's your crappy birthday, everyone else secretly gives you a gift. Then you open your presents. And whichever gift you think is the worst, you reject that gift. So the person who gave that to you then gets the point, basically.
Now, are these gifts along the lines of like a broken bottle or chewed bubble gum? Or?
No, they're actual things that some people will actually like. And that's the fun of the game, is you submit this gift thinking someone will hate it, and it turns out they secretly want pink flamingos in their yard. So it's stuff that some people will like and some people will hate. And that's kind of the fun of the game, is seeing that interaction come out.
So you get to find out a little bit about your fellow players if you don't know that much about them.
Yeah, it works really well as an icebreaker. And it also works well if you're playing with people, family, friends that you know. You get to know deep, dark secrets about what kind of weird stuff they like.
We may not want to go there.
No,
I'll bring it with to the Swingers Club next time I head on out.
Despite the title, there's nothing like adult content-ish in the gifts. They're all very kind of mainstream. Like some of it will be something that might play upon some people's fear of heights. Or it might be like thrill-seeking kind of stuff that some people won't like. Or it might be like home decor that's ugly, but you know, some people collect, you know, so on and so forth. So it's a good mix of stuff.
So velvet paintings of dogs playing poker?
Yeah, that kind of stuff, exactly.
Moving away from Crappy Birthday for a minute, I was kind of curious, how did North Star Games get started?
Well, this is an interesting story that the founder, Dominic Krapuschets, was captaining a fishing boat in Alaska. And had kind of always had a dream of owning his own company. And, you know, I think that was a bad couple of years for the salmon market. So he decided that he would take his money that he had saved up from fishing and go to grad school. So he went to grad school not only to get a business degree, but to meet a business partner, both of which he accomplished. So he started the company in 2004, I think. That's when they graduated. So it was full-time 2004 when the company, you know, they really, you know, went all in on North Star Games, released Clozzle that year, and then the next year they released Wits and Wagers.
Ka-ching!
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of an abnormal success story with that game. Target picked it up for the fall of 2007. The game had been out a year and a half. So that's pretty unheard of, particularly for a small company. It's not like it's a Hasbro Mattel game. So that really kind of jump-started the company beyond where, you know, a game startup company would normally be.
Is there anything in the pipeline right now that maybe you can discuss?
Well, we're working on a Wits and Wagers party, which is kind of a hybrid between the Wits and Wagers family and the regular Wits and Wagers. So it's simpler than regular Wits and Wagers. But it does have the poker chips that you win, but you don't get to use them during the game except for the last question.
Okay.
The questions are harder also than the family version. So, and it plays like up to eight, maybe? I mean, it plays quite a few players. So, where the family's, you know, a smaller amount. So we're hoping that it's kind of that crossover game, because Wits and Wagers, we found, is a bit of a hurdle for folks who aren't used to games. Like, if they're used to Hasbro-type games, Wits and Wagers is a bit of a leap for them. And this is somewhere in that middle area. So it's a little easier to ease people into it who aren't familiar. And then, hopefully, you know, they'll say, oh, I like that. I like the concept of this game. I'm going to want to try out, like, the full-on version.
Very nice. One thing I wanted to point out that I'm sure listeners aren't familiar with, I wanted to give you kudos because following the tornadoes that ripped through Joplin, I believe you stepped to the fore and donated quite a few games to the city. Am I correct?
One of our good game blogger podcaster, Josh Edwards, lives in Joplin, and his house got wiped out by the tornado. And he emailed me regarding something, and he said, oh, by the way, you know, that Say Anything review copy you gave me?
Right.
There might be a bit of delay in posting that. I'm like, well, what's up? So he sent me the pictures, and his house literally was flattened. There was nothing left. So not only did we send him another review copy, but he, to his credit, organized an effort to see some game, have game companies donate games to the city of Joplin to give to families who had lost stuff. So we gladly donated a case or two of games to the cause. So, you know, Josh, give him credit. His house got wiped out, and there he is, like, trying to do stuff for the community. So
that's how we gamers are.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the really nice things about working in the game industry.
Any other last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners regarding North Star Games?
Well, you know, we really try to make games that gamers can play with non-gaming friends and family, you know. So, you know, you want to bust out the Twilight Imperium 3 or whatever, and if they're not...
Grandma's not going to get into that.
No. We try to design games that you can take, that you're going to like, but, you know, that your grandparents might want to play, or your kids, or, you know, your friends who aren't really into the whole gaming thing. We just... they're easy to get into, they're light, and they're more based on social interaction, as any good party game should be. Wits and Wagers has got a little more strategic depth to it, so that's kind of the game that the gaming community has really adopted. But just stuff like Crappy Birthday, you know, if you're into any kind of Looney games or Munchkin or any kind of those light, silly games, it's very simple. It, you know, we think it's more fun than apples to apples. And it's $15. So you can buy it and take it to a party instead of buying a bottle of wine or a six-pack of beer or whatever. Now you've got a game, you can play it, everybody has a good time. It's super easy, so you don't have to focus too hard on the game. People can come in and out of it, you know, and that's really how we designed it, to be kind of like a gift. So hopefully, you know, people will find a need for that and go to their local game store and grab a copy, take it to a party.
Are you implying that I'm not allowed to pick up a six-pack or a bottle of wine now?
No, I think it goes better with a six-pack and a bottle of wine, so you should get both.
That's how I play my Twilight Struggle. I usually have about a 12-pack in me. Yeah,
that's about, you probably get through a 12-pack by the time you finish that game. But
hey. We love that game.
Yeah, it's a great game. I love it too. But, you know, takes the edge off a little bit if you have a drink. So, yeah, we're here at Gen Con. We're going to be demoing our games in our booth, 427. We're going to have some game shows for Wits and Wagers. We're having a Say Anything event, which is a new one. Where a new event for us where people bring their own questions instead of using the ones in the deck. So hopefully we can get some new material for future editions of that. So we're looking forward to it.
Very cool. Luke, thank you so much for taking some time away from the booth. I mean, it's the first day of Gen Con. It is crazy here. I have to admit, I have to say there's got to be easily 5-6 times as many people here on the first day than at Origins. It's a pretty exciting environment. So I wish you the best at the con, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right. Well, thank you for stopping by, and, you know, happy to interview anytime.
There you have it. Thanks again to Luke Warren for spending some time to chat, and thanks to our great friends and sponsors, Victory Point Games. Stay tuned for more fun coming directly from Gen Con 2011. And be sure to join Elliot and I for the next edition of our regularly scheduled show.